Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Emcure Pharmaceuticals Q2 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Piyush Nahar, Executive Vice President, Corporate Strategy and Development. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Dell. Good evening, everyone. Earlier today, we released our financials for the second quarter of fiscal 2025, along with our press release. These are also posted on our website. We hope you all had the opportunity to review it. I'd like to bring to everyone's notice that this call is being recorded, and the recording and transcripts will be available on our website. To discuss the company's business performance and outlook, we have on the call our Group CEO, Mr. Satish Mehta, our CFO, Mr. Tajuddin Shaikh, President, Corporate Development, Strategy and Finance, Mr. Vikas Thapar, and Executive Director of Operations, Mr. Samit Mehta. Before we begin, I want to remind everyone about the safe harbor related to today's investor call. Today's discussion may include certain forward-looking statements, which must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that our business faces that could cause our future results, performance, or achievements to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. At the end of the call, if you have any queries which remain unanswered, please feel free to contact us. I would now request Mr. Satish Mehta to provide the opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening. Thank you, Piyush. Good evening to all of you. Let me take the opportunity to wish you a belated Happy Diwali and, of course, a very prosperous New Year. It's an absolute honor and pleasure to speak to all of you today and present our 2Q25 results update. I mean, just to let you know, we released our 2Q results today afternoon, and I hope you have a chance to have a look at them. In 2Q, we delivered a very strong performance. Our revenues grew by 20% year-on-year basis, while our PAT grew by 38% on year-on-year basis. During the quarter, all our businesses performed well. Let me give some key business updates, and Taj, of course, will walk you through the detailed financials. Some of the key developments as far as the second quarter is concerned are when we met during the roadshow, we talked about entering into new therapies to expand our covered market. I specifically mentioned about going for the areas where we have negligible presence and the areas where we have to double down. I am happy to announce that we have recently onboarded a new team in our derma to grow that business. To give adequate focus to derma, we have set up a new 100% owned subsidiary, Emcutix, to grow that business. Emcutix will be headed by Mr. Satya Narayan. Satya brings with him over three decades of extensive experience in the dermatology sector. As far as he's concerned, he started his career with Fulfort, then known as Schering Plough, and subsequently, he became the Chief Executive Managing Director of Galderma for South Asia. All of you are familiar with the brand Cetaphil. As far as this particular brand is concerned, this happened under Satya's leadership. So obviously, we are very excited about this, and Satya is also bringing an absolutely top-class, competent team for our derma business, and you will see a lot of new product launches and initiatives in this segment going forward. As you know, we at Emcure, we have a recently strong presence in the field of HIV. We are one of the major suppliers to the Sub-Saharan Africa and other areas for HIV. And a very major development has taken place in the current quarter. We recently in-licensed lenacapavir from Gilead Life Sciences for India and emerging markets. This, in our view, is a path-breaking product and in the ARV treatment regime, and this adds to our strength in the ARV segment. The license also highlights our focus on innovation and new products. In the meantime, as I mentioned last time about Sanofi, our journey to have similar alliances will continue. In-licensing is a major part of the job, which is spearheaded by me, we'll continue looking out for opportunities to build our business in the domestic market. Having said that, we recently got approval of all our facility for EU GMP for our biologics. As I told you last time, you know, our focus is going to be on domestic and emerging markets. The EU GMP approval for biologics will help us to get faster approvals in targeted emerging markets, and this I see a reasonably good development going forward. Having talked about the major developments in quarter two, let me now talk about our key businesses. In India, we have grown at 15% in domestic business. Ex of ferricarboxymaltose and without factoring Sanofi, our base business has grown by 7 to 8%, which is broadly in line with the industry. As you are aware, industry growth has been muted in 2Q, with acute seeing the most impact. For us, as highlighted in the last quarter, FCM impact is still there in 2Q growth as a product went off patent in October last year. Our objective is to grow faster than the industry as far as the domestic market is concerned, which is very close to my heart. To achieve this, we have been working on multiple initiatives over the past few quarters. I alluded to in-licensing sometime back. That is going to be a major thing, you know, which will be spearheaded by me. I already talked about derma. As far as the cardiac side is concerned, the Sanofi business has integrated very, very well. And with this, we will also look at benefits from product synergies and co-promotion, because absolutely top-class team, you know, from Sanofi, which is very well integrated with Emcure, is now, you know, promoting products with a lot of vigor and vitality. As you know, we are known as a women healthcare business. Gynec business is very important for Emcure, and the gynec business, you know, continues to do well. Our key anemia franchise, Orofer XT, is seeing double-digit growth. This has been led by awareness programs like anemia camps and focus on growing prescriber base. And as we go forward, we'll double down in the gynec segment, which is a very key growth area as far as Emcure is concerned. Having talked, you know, about the domestic business and having told about, you know, derma or even for that matter, you know, cardiac and double down on gynec and also for focusing on other segments, let me now turn my attention to the international business. I am happy to say that as far as the international business is concerned, on the back of differentiated portfolios, is doing well and tracking ahead of our expectations. As far as Canada is concerned, both our base business and recently acquired Mantra are doing very well. The focus here is on new product launches, complex products, and market share gains, and we are obviously seeing positive gains and positive signs as far as this strategy is concerned. As I told in the beginning, domestic market and emerging markets are very, very important to us. And in emerging markets, both ARV and non-ARV segments or AR part of the business are doing very well. ARV business, after two muted years, we are seeing some recovery in the market. Our order book is very strong here. What has also helped us is new launches, especially in the PEPFAR segment from our new facility at Kadur. We expect the business to see strong growth in the current year. On non-ARV front, we are seeing traction for our differentiated products. We are seeing approval for Penicillin Glyph in our key markets, the products which are essentially promoting for stroke. And this product is very well received not only in India, but in emerging markets as well. As far as EU is concerned, as we are guided, EU growth in the current year will be a bit muted. The H1 growth is healthy 7% nevertheless. Overall, with the initiatives we have taken, we hope to sustain our growth momentum. Our focus going forward will be to improve our margins led by operating leverage. I am extremely conscious of the fact that the margins have to improve. We are making positive development in that direction. And operating leverages and focusing on profitability is going to be a major, major area on which all of us will be focused. With that, I would now request my CFO, Tash, to give you more color and details about the financials for the quarter which has just ended. Thank you very much for giving me a patient hearing. I appreciate your support and looking forward to working very closely as we go forward. Thanks again, once again.
Good evening, everyone. As mentioned by the CEO, 2Q has been a strong quarter for us. Our revenue from operations grew by 20% year-over-year to 2,002 crores for 2Q, growing from 1,663 crores in 2Q for financial year 2024. Our domestic business grew 15% year-over-year to 933 crores, aided by Sanofi's portfolio, offsetting the decline due to FCM. Ex-FCM and ex-Sanofi, we registered a steady growth of 7%-8% year-over-year and 3% QOQ. Our international markets, which represent nearly 50% of our revenues, grew at a robust 25% to 1,069 crores, led by our EM and Canadian markets. Organically, the business grew 14%. Canada grew 51% to 295 crores for 2Q. Base business continues to do well. Europe grew 6% to 362 crores for 2Q. Emerging markets saw very strong growth of 30%, led by growth in both ARV and non-ARV segments. EM sales stood at 411 crores. Coming to gross margins. Gross margins for the quarter stood at 60.6% against 62.9% in 2Q 2024. The decline is due to business mix. Sanofi business is at lower margins and a little bit of higher ARV sales. The base business GC percentages are stable year-over-year. Our EBITDA grew 26% year-over-year to 417 crores. EBITDA margin stood at 20.8%, higher than 2Q of 2024 and 1Q of 2025. This was partly aided by other income. Base margins, ex the one-time other income, improved 50 basis points quarter-over-quarter as we saw operational leverage and MR productivity improvement, which we have talked about before. Depreciation and amortization expenses increased to 97 crores from 70 crores year-over-year due to the Mantra acquisition and operationalization of four new plants. Quarter-over-quarter depreciation is largely stable. Our interest cost for the quarter was at 46 crores, which will be lower going forward due to the reduction in debt. The interest cost in the current quarter includes 8 crore one-time expense related to prepayment of loans. Our expected tax rate for 2Q was at around estimated tax rate for 2Q was at 26%. Our PAT for 2Q stood at 202 crores, growing 38% year-over-year. Coming to the balance sheet side, our net debt for the quarter end stood at 705 crores, down from 1,558 crores at the start of the fiscal year and down from 846 crores at end July. Our working capital days remain stable at around 96 days at the end of September. We can now begin the question and answer session.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is on the line of Gagan Thareja from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. So the first question is on the cash flow generation. If I look at the operating cash flow for the first half of this year versus first half of last year, there is a reduction. Can you elaborate on that? I mean, is it largely coming from an increase in working capital?
Yeah. It's primarily the business has grown, so there's increase in working capital, which has led to a reduction in the cash flow.
No, but, I mean, if the growth is in line with business, then there shouldn't be a reduction in absolute value of operating cash flow. Is there an increase in working capital days per se?
Working capital days is similar to what it was there as of March 2024.
I think, Gagan, what's also happened is we had the Sanofi business, which got added on from April 1st. So there's a working capital addition which has happened for that.
Right. So that's what I'm asking. Is the working capital terms on the Sanofi licensing deal different? Is it higher?
No, it's similar. So if you look at our working capital days, it remains similar. largely.
Okay.
Versus March.
Okay.
So, yeah. I think last September it probably slightly lower.
Okay. Okay. And I mean, you indicate that base business ex of Sanofi and excluding, you know, the product which has gone, which has seen a loss of exclusivity, is around 7 to 8%. Is it possible to quantify, you know, just excluding Sanofi, what would have been the year-on-year growth without considering the impact of the LOE product?
So, ex of Sanofi just will probably have been low single digits growth that we have seen.
And on the Gilead deal, two questions there. One, you know, lenacapavir is a capsid inhibitor and has, I mean, is, as far as I can understand, a superior product to the current first line of treatment, which is the TLD combination. And if there is a voluntary license issued, it could perhaps become the, you know, the standard of care in the LMIC market also. So can you perhaps give us some idea, one, of when will this deal start commercial contribution? And second, what scale can it achieve in your assessment in the markets for which you have the license?
Sure. So, you know, as you must have read, six players have been granted the license for 120 countries. Currently, you know, the it's under the process of getting that tech pack from them. So there's a lot of technology sharing that is happening where Gilead is sharing with us for both the drug substance and drug product. So once that is complete, it will follow a similar pathway like most other products where it would be an 18 to 24 month development cycle and then filing. And then of course after that it will be, you know, whatever regulatory approvals and commercialization post that. At this point, we don't have a very, you know, concise assessment on the potential of this molecule at commercial launch.
So, I mean, if you look at the LMIC market for ARV drugs, it is, I think, close to $1 billion or $1 to $1.2 billion odd. What I'm trying to understand is once this product comes in, your base business, which is the current first line of treatment, will go down and this will go up. Does that mean that net for you, the sales in ARV will remain broadly what it is because there's a shift away from one line of treatment to another line of treatment, or do you think this will be accretive for you in the ARV markets?
I believe the potential of this product could possibly be far larger than the current ARV market. The reason being is, while today it is approved only as a treatment, I understand the trials are also going on for use of this molecule in a preventive or a prophylactic, you know, indication. So if that comes through, probably the market size itself will increase compared to where it is today. And then, you know, the potential could surpass the current market.
Okay. But you don't see this sort of, you know, coming to the markets at least for the next 2 years. It's only after that that any commercial contribution starts. Is that how it is?
I believe it will be phase-wise. So probably, you know, the domestic market approvals and launches in India for the four players that have got the license could be earlier. Whereas for the other markets where you actually have to file the dossier and then depend on their regulatory authorities, it could be a little more elongated.
Okay. And sir, going into, you know, the second half of the year, how should we think of, you know, growth in your various key markets, India, Canada, EU and ROW, and, you know, in terms of margin profile, do we see a continuous improvement over the coming quarters?
Yeah. So I think in terms of for us, usually 2H is better in terms of growth, especially in the international market. So I think the guidance what we had given is overall for the full year, we expect growth to be about 20%+, and we maintain that. I think we will on track to deliver that. On the margins front also, 2H, you should see better margins than what we had in 1H. I think the endeavor will be to improve margins going forward.
And how much will the interest costs further come down by in the second half?
It will come down by around 25 crores.
Okay. Thank you.
Other than the exceptional of 8 crores, that's going to come down anyway.
Okay. And is there an element of any forex gain in your other income? There's a substantial jump in your other income?
There's about 5 crores of other forex gains, that's it.
All right. Okay, thanks, sir. I'll get back in the queue if I have more questions. Thanks for taking my questions.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is on the line of Dipesh Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I missed the management commentary because the con call numbers I couldn't get through. I'm sure that many people are not able to get through, so I have to come through the link. First of all,
sorry to interrupt, Mr. Dipesh. You sound a bit muffled. Could you come a bit close to your handset?
Am I?
No, sir, you are still not audible.
Still not audible? Hello?
Mr. Dipesh?
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are now.
Okay. Yeah, so I missed the management commentary, and I'm sure many people are not able to get through the numbers. First of all, I want to congratulate the management. Excellent set of numbers. Just wanted to know where will the growth going ahead will come from? Will it come from acquisition-led growth, or will the actual, I mean, the core business also show similar kind of 20% growth as you mentioned?
So I think what we mentioned is the 20% growth includes some of the inorganic factors that we have. Organically, if you look at it, overall, we have been growing at about 12% odd.
Okay. And going ahead, we see an acquisition-led growth in the future. I mean, I'm talking about the next 2 to 3 years.
I think what we already stated earlier also that we do continue looking at acquisition. So that is one area we will look at. So I think for us, the focus area that we have talked about is one is in the India is going to be the big focus market for us, where we look for brands. And historically, we haven't done that, but that is something which we will look at going forward.
Just to add, I think what we had guided in the past also is that in the Indian context, we aspire to grow slightly faster than overall industry growth, which we anticipate. Obviously, the industry is probably growing at high single digits. And whereas in the international part of our business, given the mix of the geographies we're present in, we believe that organically that growth will be in the low double digits. And then, of course, where we can evaluate and bolt on any acquisitions on top of this profile for both domestic and international, we'll continue to be actively looking for such opportunities.
Okay. Right. So for this year, since you said that H2 will be better than H1, should we expect that in FY25, we should have about 1,000 crores of profit?
I don't think we are giving out profit guidance and all here. I think the guidance that we've given is on the revenue side will be 20% plus, and EBITDA margins that we talk about 20%, 20 to 21%.
20 to 21%. Okay. Fine. Fine. I'll get back in the line.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alankar Garude from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Satish, when you spoke about traction in Tenecteplase in emerging markets, can you please elaborate on the key markets wherein we are seeing that traction? And secondly, do we have that 4.5-hour approval in each of these markets, or in some markets we are still at 3 hours?
Samit will answer. Just to let you know that the product got registration in Sri Lanka sometime back, and we got a reasonably big, order from Sri Lanka. So it's on the verge of getting registration in the Philippines, so that can virtually happen in next few days. We are actively pursuing in Thailand and even for that matter some Latin American countries. Then our trial for this particular product, is over in Russia. So overall, we see a lot of, traction for this product, going forward. And as I mentioned, this is also going to be helped, by the EU approval, because, in emerging market, if the product is approved by EU, obviously, it puts it on the fast track. Samit, would you like to add something?
Sure. Just to echo, the key geographies that we're seeing traction are CIS, some countries in Middle East, North Africa, and Southeast Asia. So far, the majority of the approvals and demand that we are seeing are for the myocardial infarction indication. There are a couple of countries, based on the novelty of the indication and the proven efficacy in stroke, which are also beginning to import this on special access, and which will also be followed by a registration in those countries. So in that context, to answer you, whether it is, a 3-hour window or a 4-hour window, that's not yet, a part of the approval there. But given that the fact in India, the package insert has the 4-hour extension now, it should pretty much mimic that in whichever countries it gets registered for that indication.
Understood. So basically, in terms of penetration, safer to assume that, in many of these emerging markets, there is a good growth runway ahead for the next few years. And then Europe would be on top of that. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, I think, in the emerging markets where it qualifies as a biosimilar for the original approved indication of MI, the traction is higher and there's a good growth runway. The real runway will come in once we get approvals for the ischemic stroke indication as well. And the facility GMP accreditation from EU should fast-track that process in many countries.
Understood. The second question is, you spoke about strong growth expectations in ARV in this fiscal. Can you firstly comment on the current scale of the ARV business and, if possible, split between India and international? And maybe a sub-question there would be, given the lumpy nature of the business, possible to comment on the outlook for FY26 as well? Thank you.
So ARV we're talking about is largely the international business, which we have in the rest of the world market. I think in domestic, what we had highlighted even last year itself is that then it's become very small. For the current quarter, about roughly half of the rest of the world market business was ARV. And full year also, it will be roughly about similar for us in terms of the rest of the world market.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a fairly strong order book on the ARV products that we will be servicing for the rest of the year. So we think that we have fairly good visibility for FY25 for the ARV segment.
And possible to comment on FY26 outlook for ARV?
I think it's too early. It's probably next quarter or...
It's a tender-driven business. To that extent, very difficult to have a guess. But at the same time, if you look at the traditional outlook for last 5 years, we have been consistently meeting the numbers. But at the same time, we will definitely... difficult because it is
tender-driven
business.
Fair enough. So basically, sir, the question there is, we are talking about improved margins in the second half, and our understanding is margins in ARV would be lower than the corporate average for us. So the question then is, which are the key segments which are going to drive better margins in the second half for us, assuming ARV continues to remain strong in the second half?
So I think for us, it's a couple of factors. One is some of these operating leverage from both from the factory side and also as the MR productivity keeps on rising, that drives up. And secondly, some of the non-ARV business in the emerging markets, that is more back-ended into it. So that as picks up, you'll see that margin traction coming through.
And of course, on the India business side, we continue to undertake efforts for gaining some operating leverage from the productivity improvements as well.
Understood. And one final question. On an organic basis, apart from gynae, which are the key therapies you expect to drive outperformance over the market, say, in the next 2 to 3 years?
So if you look at for the next 2 to 3 years, gynae is one area. Cardio, I think, is where you'll see a growth picking up for us, especially with the Sanofi integration now fully behind us. As you mentioned, among the newer areas, diabetes and derma are the two areas where we will be putting a lot more focus on. We are seeing a lot more product launches there. CNS, based on the tenecteid that we are seeing a lot of growth out there. On the more acute side, where your anti-infectives and vitamins, where we've added the 500 field force on the Zoventis side, that is where we expect the growth to come through.
Understood. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Gagan Thareja from Ask Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the question. Is it possible for you to give, you know, some more flavor of how your Zoventis and the Genova businesses have fared in the first half of the year, and how do you see them panning out over the next in the second half of the year?
So, Gagan, we're not breaking it up right now. I think you've seen the full year numbers, how Zoventis and Genova are doing. But fair to say, I think you have it. Zoventis is broadly in line with what we see in the domestic market that you're seeing. Genova is doing slightly better out there, with some of the biosimilars doing well. But we're not breaking that up right now.
All right. And you know, you're starting this new subsidiary. You put in a team in place. Any vision or aspiration for this that you can share, perhaps with a 3 or 5 year time window in mind? How do you see this evolving?
So I think, as we've been talking about, right, derma is one of the focus areas we want to be present in, and with the team that we have building it out there, I think the idea will be to launch a lot of differentiated products, which has been MQ's focus strategy. You'll see that similar thing replicated out there. I don't want to put out guidance or even in terms of targets on where we want to be, but that is going to be one of our key drivers going forward.
Is it possible to break down your domestic growth, base business domestic growth, ex of Sanofi, into volume and new introductions in price broadly?
Yeah, so if I look at ex-Sanofi, ex-FCM, right, so because that has a big price delta, volume growth has been about 3 to 4%, pricing is another 2 to 3, and new products is another 2 to 3, broadly.
Okay, so you're basically saying that volume growth has been reasonably ahead of the IPM volume growth for your covered business?
Yes.
Yes.
You expect to be able to sustain this kind of volume growth going ahead?
I think that is the focus, and that is what we've been targeting out.
Right. Is it also possible to understand your current PCPM and how does it stack up versus the first quarter and versus comparable quarter of last year? That's 2Q of last year.
Yeah. So first quarter we were at 6.3. In 2Q we are at about 6.6. Last year, same quarter, we were at about 5.9.
And I think we had obviously, guided towards that by FY25 end, our aspiration is to be in that sort of high sixes territory, and we're very happy with, the Q2 performance, and we think that should hopefully continue to move in that direction as well.
Okay. Have you also had to discontinue any product because of a of regulatory reasons. I think under the irrational FDC list, there was one drug from Emcure. I don't remember the name, but I do remember there was one drug for Emcure. Is it possible to give an idea of which drug was that and what was its contribution?
And the drug that we had, was etodolac with paracetamol. That's the drug which has been discontinued. At the same time, as far as that particular drug is concerned, the contribution is less than 10 CR.
Okay. All right. And for the four new plants that you set up, how is the capacity utilization faring for each of them currently?
So, we have, four plants which we mentioned. The first one was the oral solids facility at Kadu. There the capacity utilization has picked up very well, primarily because, as CEO mentioned right up front, we also started using that facility for some of the ARV supplies, especially under PEPFAR. The second plant is our emerging markets plant in Mehsana. There the injectable facility has very low utilization at present. It's still filing products. The oral solids facility is closer to 50% because a lot of site transfers for Europe and Canada have happened there. Biosimilars facility, given the fact that it's just got EU accreditation, now is the time when we start utilizing it for, doing a lot of validation batches and filing products as well. And in terms of the oncology block at Sanand, that also is seeing good momentum in terms of increased capacity utilization.
And the Canadian acquisition, how has that one fared for you in terms of is it tracking in line with your expectations? And in terms of margins, where does it stack up currently versus your overall average margin, and with site transfers and so on, what's the scope for taking margins up there?
Yeah, in fact, we're very happy with the recent acquisition of Mantra. In fact, for the current year, it's probably tracking slightly higher than our own expectations for the first half. They've partially benefited from some of the supply disruptions, given some of the peers ran into issues with the regulatory agencies, so which created some short-term opportunities for that business as well, which we were able to capture the market share. In terms of profitability, I think broadly it is tracking in line or slightly higher than the overall profitability average from an EBITDA margin profile of the entire business. So very happy, but I think we think that this business will continue to fare well in the remainder of FY25 and as we look towards FY26, just given when we acquired it, the number of synergistic opportunities to take the products, as we had highlighted in the roadshow, both some of their products to the rest of Canada as well as our existing Canadian businesses' products to the Quebec region. So we think that that will continue to unfold over the next 12 months as well.
Thanks. Thanks again for taking my questions. Wish you all the best and get back in the queue more for more if I have.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question.
Jill, if there are no further questions, I think we can end the call.
There's a follow-up question from Mr. Gagan Thareja from Ask Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I hope I'm not too much of a pest here. One question on the India business, and this is, not specific to the company, but it seems that, acute companies with perhaps a higher share of acute in their portfolios have really struggled for growth throughout, this first half of this year. I can understand that, companies which have a high share of NLEM would have struggled to show growth. But even for companies, you know, which have a lower share of NLEM like you as well, it's been a bit of a challenge. Any thoughts around what has led to this and what should we expect as a baseline growth for, you know, acute share or the acute part of the Indian pharmaceutical market?
I think, Gagan, it's difficult to bring out the industry. We were expecting a bit of pickup, especially with the monsoon and all, but that hasn't happened. I think we'll wait for some more time before we have we can give you a proper update on what is driving that, the slower growth in acute care.
Again, it's very difficult to hazard because there are lots of theories, you know, which are being flouted around. You know, somebody says that generic business is taking the share, you know, should be is playing, you know, then even for that matter, the new stores that government of India is very actively starting. So it's very difficult to come to any conclusion. Maybe it will take some time before we know what's happening.
Okay. And the sales force addition, the field force addition that you've done, is it in newer geographical areas or you believe that, you know, there is more to capture in your existing strongholds? How have you sort of strategized around, you know, the manpower addition? If you could give some idea of what thought went into the absolute value of headcount increase and how you positioned it in various markets?
You know, it's a combination of both those aspects. As we had highlighted, you know, the additions were roughly 50% of the net additions was on our Zaventus subsidiary side, where one of their divisions was becoming quite a large division with a number of mega brands. So there they went in for a vertical split in those geographies so that we could give more attention to detailing those key brands and be able to add any new launches in the near future as well. So there it wasn't necessarily geographic expansion, but rather just bringing that focus attention to the strong brands. On the Encure side, which is some of the more chronic, subchronic segments, there we did go in for some geographic expansion, particularly where we're historically very strong in the metros and tier one. Some of the expansion took place to really cater to more the tier two, tier three geographies. So that's where we saw some of the additions take place. And we're happy with how, in both the cases, how that's tracking overall.
And what's the current attrition rate for your India sales force?
It's in line with the industry.
All right. Final one, sir, from my side. How should we think of growth for your European business? I think for this year, you mentioned perhaps it's only towards the last part of this year that the growth might start kicking in. But how should we think about FY26 growth for the European business?
I think for Europe, our target will be going forward to be in the double digits growth.
Okay. Right. Thanks. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Piyush Nahar for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining today's investor call. If you have any queries which still remain unanswered, please feel free to get in touch with us. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Have a good evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of MKR Pharmaceuticals, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.